Welcome to yet another episode of Digitalization Tech Talks, where we talk about digital technologies that are applicable to the process industries. I'm very excited to provide the introduction to today's episode and guest because we are going to be talking about a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. It's one that I've spoken to at various conferences throughout the years, and that topic is data. But as it's customary in this podcast, we're not just going to talk about the data topic conceptually. We're also going to discuss some relevant use cases and the tangible value for a business perspective that can be derived from data. And we'll also spend a good amount of time on the importance of visualizing and contextualizing data in a way that fits different roles and functions. Because after all, context is key. From that comes the understanding of everything. And that is actually a quote from the American painter Kenneth Noland. And I really don't mean to go all philosophical on our listeners here, but I think it was a very fitting quote that rings true for a lot of things. And when it comes to data, it may even be the single most important aspect to consider. So what do you think, Don? Do you have any like cool and timely or maybe relevant quotes that you'd like to share, or is this enough for one episode?
Hi, Jonas. I can't say that I do, but it is great to be back for another episode and another conversation with an excellent guest. Every now and then we cover what I like to think of as a digitalization infrastructure type topic, and I think this is another good one. If you remember back to episode 34, which we called Breaking Down Data Silos, we talked to Novozymes about how to capture good data. And then back in episode 31, which was Digitalization Demystified, we spoke with PI North America about several technologies that can assist with transporting data. This episode will be a great addition to our podcast Data Files.
Absolutely, Don. Thank you. So let's get to our guest today. His name is Bruce Taylor, and he is the founding principal of FurtherTech and the lead consultant for digital transformation services. Bruce, welcome to the Digitalization Tech Talks podcast. We're very excited to have you with us here today.
Well, thank you, Jonas. I certainly appreciate the opportunity. It's a topic near and dear to my heart as well, and it's my pleasure to participate and share some of my experience on the topic.
Excellent, Bruce. So first off, please tell us about yourself, your experience, and what your current focus is at FurtherTech.
Okay. Well, Jonas, as to my experience, it's been a long and it continues to be an exciting career in technology. I actually began in the mid-60s, first programming job, working with NASA at the Kennedy Space Center, where I directly supported the flight crew training and simulation for the Apollo and other subsequent manned space programs. I moved in the late 70s to the commercial market, where I spent 40 plus years now dedicated to designing and implementing successive generations of technology in the process manufacturing industries, and recently just entering semi-retirement, in which I still continue to support industry clients doing what's called clear eyes reviews of their technical infrastructure and or their technology-based activities to identify opportunities to hopefully maximize long-term success return on investment, with a special focus now on digital transformation and the impacts that are being felt now from the advent of generative AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and being prepared for the potentials of general AI when it appears commercially viable. And before you ask, a clear eyes review is simply a quick and completely independent assessment of a facility's current information technology environment with their key and current future plans to point out possible opportunities where my insights could minimize risk and maximize benefits from existing and future investments. Like the way I put it, Thomas Edison had a quote that he had failed his way to success. And with five decades of experience, I can assure you it's packed with a lot of learning and application of that in reviewing activities. The goal is to avoid there being repeated.
Well, thanks, Bruce. That is an amazing background. I can think of many topics that I'd like to discuss with you, particularly back to those NASA and Kennedy Space Center days. But what focusing on today, why don't we start out by, if you could give us a little bit of information about what you think of in terms of data visualization and contextualization. What do they mean to you, and how have you used it in the past?
I think first I want to give two definitions. First, simply put, the academic definition of visualization, which is the effective presentation of data, an object or situation to inform, specify, or to clarify the exact subject or topic of interest to the user, such as a picture of a specific pump in the physical process unit, all the current instrumented data values associated with that pump, and or the current set points and targets for meeting the production goals out of the process unit where the pump is in situ, instantiated. Contextualization is the weaving together of all these plus all the surrounding transactional type data elements that are needed to maximize the level of knowledge and insights required to plan and operate an asset or a unit or a facility in the most efficient and effective manner throughout its entire life cycle. That's my technical definition. But from the business perspective, the definition for me is it's being a critical tool to maximizing the engagement and contribution of human assets to achieving their mission. Visualization is the aggregation, the normalization of all the data generated by all your technology investments and the presentation of that data to your human assets in a manner that directly supports their fulfilling their defined job roles to the best of their ability. Primarily, how I've used visualization is simply to address one of the most significant issues that challenged and still hampers many operators in the process industries, or at least the refined and petrochemical segments, which I've spent the bulk of my career. That being the functional silos and segmentation of responsibilities in the facilities. Visualization provides cross-functional transparency and will build cross-functional awareness and understanding and the interdependence between the functions. It highlights the cross-functional dependencies and that there is no functional hub that governs everything. That every function is dependent upon every other supporting function, and no one functional group can be operationally excellent unless all of the functions are operationally excellent. I hope that's kind of coming across clear. Visualization done correctly enables cross-functional collaboration and really drives towards shared performance objectives.
Yeah, I think that came through very clearly, Bruce. I really want to thank you for that extensive description of what visualization is. And I think you were able to capture it very succinctly and also to show how it can provide value. So thank you very much for that. I think that was very helpful.
We're going to take a brief break from this episode to talk about a live event that takes place in Houston on May 1st. It's called Secrets to Driving Change in Chemical Operations and will feature Tony Lee from Evonik as the main speaker. So go to the show notes and click on the link to learn more and to register for the event.
Now, you already touched on a couple of ways that visualization can aid companies from a business perspective, but could you also talk to how it can aid, for example, operators? By improving their understanding of a situation, for instance, and help them take the right actions?
Doing visualization for a long time and in many, many environments. And while that's a big question, in our allotted time, because after all those experiences of implementing visualization capabilities, I have never been disappointed in that I am continually amazed by the creativity of the frontline workers in their identification of visualization opportunities once it's put in place. Clearly, things like identifying the best reaction to a noted potential developing asset failure as potential as serious as vibration on a critical piece of rotating equipment, or as simple as an operator noting a wet seal on a valve assembly, are common use cases. When those things are noted, questions have to be answered, like, have these items already been identified, and have mitigating actions already been initiated? Have work requests or inspections been generated? And if so, what are the status of those actions as you go from shift to shift and crew to crew? Answers that can and should be provided with a couple of intuitive clicks versus logging into other systems, generating queries to find out the answer to that, which unfortunately I've seen and still see today, which is so cumbersome that it's often easier just to, go into the system and regenerate the work notification or generate the email, which then becomes duplicate entries or communications. For any situation that requires or can be benefited by human intervention, all other contributing data should be just a click away, like with a vibration alert. Things that a board operator, shift supervisor, when was the vibration first detected? Is this something totally new, or has it been building? At what rate has the vibration been increasing? What's the status of a sister pump, if there is one? When was the last switch executed? Is that sister pump available? When was the pump last inspected? What is the maintenance history? What was the last PM performed, or are there scheduled maintenance or PM operations scheduled to be performed? At a process area level, seeing a list of all pending work or permitting work graphically overlaid on an overhead view of the unit to know where people are located and what work they're performing, these all eliminate risk of interference between work crews, and it's all factors that go into operators making the decisions they're faced on a day-to-day basis, sometimes an hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute basis. Those are the classic things. To call out a couple of ones that really stick in my mind, is one of the significant use case was the reduction of corrosion hours at one site, where the process was that they had established the operator made rounds in which they were required to test and initiate some action like a water flush or a chemical injection. If it was required, the action was noted on a log sheet, a read-up sheet, and it was assumed that any action performed corrected the situation. What visualization provided, we integrated some mobile rounds capabilities that were integrated into the operations dashboard that provided direct feedback and tracked the activities that were initiated and within weeks, so that they would go back and have to re-inject or take more action. And literally within weeks, corrosion hours were reduced by almost 80%, which is a clear example of the old adage, what gets measured gets done. Gets really amplified when transparency exists between actions taken and the results. Another significant one, which was truly the largest unexpected, came out of an audit that was performed after the project was complete, that it came out of one of my first early projects, and that was the positive impact on turnaround scope. And even when I read the audit report, I was a bit confused, because that was not something in the justification we had even thought about. We had integrated with the maintenance management system and discovered that when the unit encountered the need to slump or take an unforecast outage between scheduled turnarounds or scheduled outages, operations and maintenance could work quickly together and leverage the ability to identify all the work scheduled for the next turnaround that was on the same circuit that required the unforecast shutdown, and they brought those forward and bundled them into the unscheduled outage activity where it was practical and possible, and thus reducing the, the positively impacting, reducing the scope of the turnaround effort. Probably the one most impactful was a facility that was historically challenged by their environmental performance. A visual page was generated with just key identified environmental tags for each of the areas, and a graphic method was crafted that clearly indicated current readings with their limits and the current and projected trends, that provided clear pre-alerts on potentially developing situations. And it included best performance achieved under similar past production configurations and rates. With the pre-alerts automatically being spawned with recommended actions to be taken and the potential consequences, the awareness of action required to mitigate a potential excursion, it was so impactful that they even installed large dedicated monitors that were ceiling mounted in each of the control rooms. It just generated almost instantaneous improvements. It was quite fascinating. I could go on and on, but I won't. I've given too many, probably.
Well, those are some great examples, Bruce, and they really help to put some context around this topic, no pun intended. What are some considerations to keep in mind when it comes to contextualization? And what is it about contextualization that makes it so relevant in connection with visualization?
Yeah. First, one common oversight with contextualization is how the elements are woven together and represented on the screen or the pane of glass. While being very similar between functions within an operating environment, there are different needs based upon the responsibilities or accountabilities of the job function of the users that are being supported. Operations, maintenance, reliability, process engineering, plant leadership have different roles, and what is presented them should be done so that it directly supports their specific needs to fulfill their specific functional requirements or job responsibilities in the plant. It wasn't that many decades ago that we saw visualization first come to the forefront when color graphic monitors appeared in the control rooms with the that occurred with the migration from pneumatic and analog to digital process control technologies. This was a huge leap, a step change forward, a huge positive impact on plant operations. But as always, that I found as I've implemented generation after generation of technologies, there's always and it always occurs with any new great thing, there are always lessons to be learned and something better on the horizon. And one of the opportunities identified was the need for contextualization. Just the color diagram flows and readings on a screen weren't enough. We soon started hearing the term situational awareness replacing visualization, which simply meant the systemic association or weaving together, as I've mentioned, of all of the data elements to provide a more complete and accurate representation of the current and any developing issues for the knowledge worker. Without that contextualization provided, if they're just looking at instrument readings, it's up to the worker to form their own mental image of the situation based upon their own personal level of knowledge and experience. Contextualization provides the knowledge worker with a far more complete and detailed level of insights, which can inherently reflect the collective experience of all the contributors captured over many years of operations, producing a far more accurate and shared mental image of the situation, which in turn then maximizes the outcome of their response performance, and the contribution that they make in their job role.
Yeah, I can definitely see, based on what you're describing, Bruce, that there is clear and tangible value in contextualizing information. It almost sounds like having a tool that enables you to easily visualize any areas of concern, and then enriching this information with some additional context is very, very powerful in so many ways for so many different people, for so many functions.
So this marks the episode of part one with Bruce Taylor. We'll be releasing the second part next week, so make sure to tune in to learn more about what makes data visualization and contextualization so critical for the process industries.